And joining me right now here on the Mark Moses Show to go over the latest on the Orlando Magic, who, yes, got their 40th win of the season last night there at the Kia Center. This guy does a great job with OrlandoMagic.com. Their beat reporter, Dan Savage. Dan, how you doing today?
Doing well. Winning makes everything taste a little bit better, feel a little bit better. So these off days are really nice with the team rolling the way it is right now.
How many years have you now been covering the Magic?
I've been with the Magic for the last 15 years, past 16 seasons. Before that, I was covering them from afar, working for NBA.com. So it's been about 18, 19 years in total that I've been covering the Magic in some shape or form.
I think about draft night when they took Franz Wagner. And I remember seeing you 2 minutes before they made the pick with Paolo Banchero. Do you kind of reminisce on some of those moves as we're at right now here in this rebuild?
Oh, absolutely. Those are big turning points in the franchise. You know, I remember doing a lot of podcasts and radio appearances right around Summer League after the Magic had drafted Franz Wagner. And there was a feeling among fans and different people that maybe the Magic had reached on Franz, or that, you know, they should have picked this player or that player. And it's just funny watching the narratives now, how they've shifted. And I remember telling people, you could tell after Franz Wagner's first Summer League practice that this guy was different. I remember being in the room, and you have guys in a Summer League setting that have been in the league, that are multi-year players, played in the G League, and Franz Wagner was consistently used as the example of how to do things. This guy's doing things this way. Mosley was just, it almost felt uncomfortable at some point for Franz, because you're like, God, this guy's the teacher's pet right off the bat in his first Summer League practice. But his attention to detail and willingness to do things the right way was evident right from the jump. And you just knew that this kid had a special future ahead of him. And it's no surprise to me that he's made this ascension this fast, because he's all business and all about doing things the right way to help his team win.
What's interesting with Franz, I remember the day after that draft, everything was about Jalen Suggs. Hey, we got the hero from Gonzaga. Oh, and there's this other guy from Michigan. Did you feel that narrative as well after that draft that night?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I remember a popular name among Magic fans was, you know, James Booknight. There were other guys that, you know, people were clamoring for. And it's just funny now, because probably a lot of those same fans are arguing that Franz is the best player from that draft class. So it's funny how, you know, opinions can change quickly with projections. Jalen's path took a little bit longer, but now, yeah, you know, it's amazing what he's been able to do over the course of his third season and the growth he's made. But yes, absolutely. On that first draft night, it was all Suggs and this other guy.
What has Suggs done on the court to get to that next level here in year three?
Yeah, I think his approach to the game has become so much better. He's playing more under control. Defensively, he's the point of attack. He knows he's the energy setter. The Magic have made it, since training camp, it's been a focus that, look, this team's calling card is going to be its defensive identity. And the head of that snake is Jalen Suggs. He attacks the other team's primary ball handler. He gets them out of rhythm. And the rest of the team plays tremendous defense along with him. So he sets the tone on that end of the floor. And then offensively, I think he's playing more under control than he has in prior seasons. I think part of that is he's been healthy for the most part this season and compared to seasons prior. And he's had a full, you know, off season of work under his belt to get ready for this upcoming campaign. And I think it's paying dividends. We're seeing with him, you know, his 3-point shot has improved drastically. Mm-hmm. And with those numbers, that helps space the floor. And that allows for guys like Franz and Paolo to operate and do what they do.
What games did he miss last week? Or was it the New York game? Or was Indiana as well? With him off the court, was that what it was? It was a big difference.
Absolutely. I think especially when you look back at that New York game, New York kind of, you know, I was at that game at MSG, and they were treating it like a playoff game. Look, the Magic had already secured the season series with them. They had beat the Knicks up in both locations. And I think the thing with that was with Jalen, he's the perfect guy for that kind of game where it's going to be a slugfest between two clubs. And, you know, the Magic missing him certainly hurt. In the Indiana game, I felt more that they just let it slip away. They came out setting the tone out of the gate. And, you know, after getting that early lead, they kind of got a little lackadaisical and Indiana took advantage. And you have to wonder yourself, if a guy like Jalen Suggs is out there, does that happen? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not quite sure it does.
Well, you're Dan Savage, OrlandoMagic.com. All right, we've gone 5 minutes without talking Paolo, so let's do it. You've seen him in one season and now almost two seasons. How has he grown here as we're going into April?
Jeez. The funny thing about Paolo is he just continues to elevate in so many ways, whether it's his shot selection, his effort on the defensive end, his vocalness as a leader. The thing that I don't think it's talked about enough is, you know, people have pulled up some clutch stats and there's different things about how many clutch points he scored. But the one thing that's really hard to quantify is I just feel he's got such a good feel for the game that he knows when another team's getting momentum or it's time for him that he needs to just hit a bucket at various points in the game, not saying, you know, just in those final moments. He knows how to just take the ball, get the right play made, and take care of it. And when necessary, make a shot to stop another team's run. He's just got such a good feel for the game. And I think that's also translating to his playmaking this season, which has just taken drastic leaps. He's seen so many more double and triple teams this season, and he's just not affected by it. He just finds ways over the course of the game to break them apart, make teams pay for doing it. And we see down the stretch of games, the Magic know how to close it out with Paolo. And I don't think it's any coincidence that, you know, they have such a good record this season when leading heading into the fourth quarter, you know, 33-1 now. And a big part of that is because Paolo knows how to close out games. And between him and Franz, they just get it done at that end of the floor.
All right, there's no wrong answers to this question. Is Paolo a superstar or is he still building to become a superstar?
I'm thinking, look, he's an all-star now. So that certainly makes his case for being a superstar. But if you truly want that title, you have to have success in the playoffs. Mm. And I think pretty soon we're going to see the Magic in the postseason. And that's going to be, you know, what helps make his case for those who doubt him as an ascending superstar for what he is. Because, look, part of what comes to being a superstar in a sense is having that media narrative behind you. And while he's starting to build that up, I think, you know, his legacy over the years is going to be formed by what he does in the postseason. And all those prior clutch stats that I mentioned, I think they're going to hold great significance in the playoffs, because if you start closing teams out in that way in the postseason, there's going to be no debate. We're not going to be having this conversation of whether or not he is a superstar. What's his ceiling at? People are just going to talk about, wow, Paolo's great. The Magic closed team out in the playoffs. They're having postseason success. And the great thing about Paolo is I think that's what he cares about most.
All right, I will give a selfish question then. He needs to take off the Zion Williamson Jordans and the Jason Tatum. We need Jordan to make a Paolo Banchero Nike shoe. Can we make this happen?
I'm all for it. You know, I'm not a big shoe head guy, so I never know what different shoes guys are wearing. You know, there have been various cameramen that we have that are all about that. You know, that's what they take pictures of. Uh-huh. I'm usually asking, like, what's that dude wearing? Because I have no concept of that.
What?
Stuff.
Wait a minute.
But I'm all for it.
Wait a minute. So you're around the NBA 24/7. You love basketball. You love it. You're around it, again, all day long. But you don't care about the basketball shoes. I'm fascinated by this.
Yes, it's never been a thing for me. Like, even going back to being a kid, the only shoes I ever remember caring about when I was a kid were those Charles Barkley Reebok pumps. I wanted those so bad where, you know, you could pump them up right on the lip, tongue of the shoe there. and I didn't get them. My parents would allow me to have them.
Look, so, you're an adult. You can buy the Reebok pumps now if you want. Go for it. You make it like, Dan, you make it like you still want your parents to buy it for you after all these years.
But I'm saying that might have been the turning point for me. You know, I didn't get those. The dream was dashed, and I just moved on to other things like watching the game.
I like it. You're like jersey shorts. I'm into that. There you go. Shoes don't care when it comes to the NBA. I'm laughing. We're here with Dan Savage, OrlandoMagic.com. Okay, 40th win last night. How big is that for the organization moving forward?
That's huge. I mean, to elevate themselves into that category where they're 12 games over 500 for the first time, I think, since about 2012, just shows the progress that this team is making. And you look, I think, you know, the different gambling websites had the Magic set for about 36 and a half wins heading into the season as their final win total. When you looked at what most media pundits had them projected for, it varied between 30 wins to 38 wins, I think, when you were looking at what most national pundits had. And the fact that they're already past that at this point in the season, with the longest homestand of the season still coming up, or really in the midst of it, you know, just says about so much about what this team has done and how they've grown. And to me, you look at that, and it's like, how can you not have Jamal Mosley as a head coach of the year candidate? Because if you lined up all those guys, all those pundits, all those people that have votes, and you said, give me your win total for each coach at the beginning of the season, perhaps the coach with one of the biggest disparities would be Magic head coach Jamal Mosley. Because, like, as I said, most people had them pegged for early 30s, late 30 wins. They're already past that and trending upwards. So for me, he's got to be in that conversation, and that record is a reflection of that.
Did you like him getting the 4-year extension with the team?
Oh, Mark, I can't tell you how big of a win that is to just have that secured. When we talk about all the things the Magic are, whether that's the family-like atmosphere in the locker room, the defensive identity, the willingness to compete night in, night out, caring about your teammate's success as much as your own, if not more. Jamal Mosley sets the tone for all of that. And it's so hard to interview him about that because he just wants to heap praise on others. Mm-hmm. So really, to get the story of it, you have to talk to the players and the people around him. As somebody who's fortunate enough to be around him every day, his office is right down the hall from mine, you could just see with him how authentic it is. It's not an act. It's not something he puts on. It's not a mask that he wears. He truly lives it. And when somebody pours so much into others, it's not a surprise that others pour back into him. And I think the way that's reflected is the way that this team has grown and the record that they've put forth, the performances they've put forth, and the fact that, you know, how many times in the NBA do we hear on a nightly basis this team laid down to a team that they should have beat? You see it in press conferences every night. And this team at Kia Center this season is 14-0 against sub-500 competition. It just shows that they respect the opponent, and they come and they bring it every night. And it's just a reflection of where their head coach is. And to have him locked up for 4 more seasons on top of his prior deal, just huge. Because I think we talk about superstar. I think he's a superstar head coach in the league.
Is it valid, though? Like, a fair question. 4 years is an eternity in the NBA at the same time when you look at a head coach.
I think it's perfectly valid because I think the players buy into him. I think what he does he's an X's and O's head coach, but what he does is so much more than that. And to have that faith in him, I think it helps when you go to talk to prospective free agents this summer to have certainty in your organization. Look, this head coach is going to be here. Mm-hmm. We're not going to sign you and the guy that you're signing up to be a part with isn't going to be here in a couple years or a year into your contract, and you're no longer his guy, and the team's going to move you, or you're going to be in a role that you're not happy with. And how many teams in this league can have that kind of organizational security? You know, look what it's done for the Miami Heat as they've recruited. Look at the success that the Spurs have had over the long time with Greg Popovich. I think eventually that's what the Magic could have with Jamal Mosley, where it's like, you know, this guy's going to be here. So when you sign up to be part of it, you know that you're going to have that kind of security, that you're going to have that familiar voice, and it's not going to be pulled out from underneath you.
We're at Dan Savage, OrlandoMagic.com. I know last night kicked off an 8-game homestead. Are you excited for this even more than the players are for the next 2 weeks?
Absolutely. I'm excited for it. My wife's excited for it, at least at the front end of it. By the end of it, she may be like, it's time to get you out of here and back on the road again. But at least for now, everybody's excited for it. Oh, gosh, Mark, it's been such a front-loaded travel season. January felt like I was barely ever at home, and when I, you know, touched home, it was like, wait, we're going right back out on the road again. I remember some days not even, like, unpacking my suitcase, and then it's a travel day again. I'm like, wait, I still have to do the laundry from that in that suitcase. So to have 16 days in Orlando, especially at this time of year, is awesome. The weather's great. Getting to catch up on some much needed rest, get some things done. And then on top of that, you know, what gets lost to fans, I think, is when you're traveling as much as the Magic have been, it's really hard to get practice time in, because a lot of your off days can be travel days or recovery from travel days, because the team doesn't get into a location so late. There's so many times that after a game when you travel, you don't get actually into your bed till 3-4 in the morning. And to be in one location means a lot of those off days that where there's no games can instead be focused on practice, maintenance, rehab. And those are the luxuries the Magic are going to have late in the season that I think is going to really help them as they make that final playoff push.
Can this team get the 2 seed mathematically?
I don't know about that. I've looked closer at the 3 seed, which is certainly possible. But, you know, Cleveland and New York are starting to get a little bit healthier. They're both playing good basketball right now. So it's going to be tough. I think mathematically it's still possible for them to catch Milwaukee, but that's going to be a real tough task, especially with 3 teams in front of them, standing at this spot, who I think are really good basketball teams, all 3 of them up and down.
Have the Magic ever had a home playoff series, like home court advantage in round 1 at the Kia Center? I don't know.
I mean, it's been a bit, because I want to say they had the Eastern Conference Finals run, and that was after the finals run, and that was also at Amway Arena. And I think that subsequent season, they may have had it in the 2010-11 playoffs. But it's been a long time.
See, I put you on the spot. I'm sorry I put you on the spot, but
I think it's 2010-11, they hosted the Atlanta Hawks, if I'm remembering correctly. They lost that series in the first round, but they hosted that at the then Amway Center.
So,
if I'm remembering correctly.
Because you said at the top, Dan, you've been covering this team for a long time, almost 20 years.
Yep.
You haven't covered many home playoff games, have you?
It's been a bit. I started off really hot. My first season was the 2000, like actually in Orlando working for the Magic, was the 2008-2009 season. So my first season, come in, go to the NBA Finals. Second season, come in, go to the Eastern Conference Finals. So started off really hot and heavy. Just felt like something that was going to happen every season.
Yeah.
So, the last, 10 years or so has made you not take that for granted, and made you realize how special it is, what they're formulating and building right now.
Let's end with this. I want to get your perspective on this. So they retire Shaq's jersey. I can't get out of my mind the video of Shaq at practice where he's towering over Paulo, Franz, Wendell Carter Jr. Were you at this practice by any chance?
I was. I was at the training center that day. So Shaq, you know, is passing through the halls, walking through with the members of the DeVos family, you know, Magic CEO Alex Martins, and some other people who were kind of taking him through the tour. And, you know, I was writing an article, and he came up and, you know, put his hand on my shoulder, and all of a sudden you just see this giant hand. And he goes, you know, he goes, "Hey, Alex, this guy's on Facebook." Meanwhile, I was just writing my preview for the day. But it just shows, you know, Shaq's humor. As big as he is physically, his personality is even bigger in stature.
I mean, like,
one of those guys.
Like, Wendell Carter Jr. is a 7-footer, and Shaq just towers over him. And I'm just like, how did anyone guard Shaq in his prime? Like, I don't understand how this is possible. I don't get it.
And what's amazing is then when you see Shaq next to, like, Yao Ming.
Yeah.
And you realize how big Yao Ming was. It's Shaq's physical presence. You know, when you talk about the most dominant player in NBA history, I think that conversation, you know, can start with a few players, but one of them has to be Shaquille O'Neal, because his just physicality, his presence, and then the showmanship to go along with it. Like, you know, I remember a time in the NBA we talked about shoes, and we talked about that and how big men couldn't sell them. And then, you know, big men couldn't be stars. And Shaq changed that whole perception. You know, he was in movies. He was the one, you know, selling shoes, doing all these kinds of things. And it's because his personality was so great. He wasn't just a big guy. He was a big star. And, you know, for him to be cemented in Orlando Magic history as the first player with their jersey retired, I think it's special, because for so many people, like, you know, a kid like me who grew up loving the NBA but wasn't associated with Orlando when I was growing up, when you thought of the Orlando Magic, you thought of Shaq.
Yes.
You thought of him and Penny and what they were able to do together. And so for that to be recognized with his jersey hanging in the rafters for all fans to see as they come through that arena, I think that's special and well-deserved.
That is awesome. And by the way, we're going to the Reebok store to get you those pumps. I hope you know that. We're getting them.
We'll have to do that.
Yeah. Dan Savage with OrlandoMagic.com. My man, thanks for your help, and I hope I can get you on again sometime.
Let's do it. Let's rock for the playoffs.